Our Father, as we open your word and we look at just a glimpse of an afternoon and evening in the life of Jesus, may it fill our souls with his peace, his assurance, and his love. Amen. Have you ever been afraid? I mean scared to death afraid. Happened to me a few times in my life where I thought I wasn't going to see another day. A number of years ago, I was not too long out of school. And Loa and I and our kids had been moved from Port Orchard, where we were working in the Washington Conference, to Port Townsend, Washington, which is located up on the extreme northeast corner of the Olympic Peninsula. And as Puget Sound goes down past that south all the way to Tacoma, that whole eastern coast of the Olympic Peninsula is filled full of little inlets and pieces of land jutting out. And just below Port Townsend, there's a little inlet. And over on the other side is an island called Nordland Island, which is where another church that I had the privilege of pastoring was. And between Port Townsend and Nordland, we had a church school. And I had the privilege of interviewing teachers because we needed one the year that I got there. It was a true one-room schoolhouse. And I drove over to Walla Walla, and I interviewed a number of teachers and hired a young man who was a bachelor. His name was Larry Hallison. Larry and I became friends. And Larry had a boat. Now, this wasn't a 40-foot fishing trawler. This was 14 feet of fiberglass open boat with a little 25-horse engine in the back of the thing. Larry came over to our house one day. I think it was probably a Sunday. My wife and I were trying to rack our brains to figure out if it was summertime, and I don't think it was. It had to have been a Sunday. And he said, "You want to go for a boat ride?" The weather was sort of like it has been for the last 2 days. Blue skies, no breezes. Today we've got a breeze. Just absolutely gorgeous. And I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And he said, "Well, we can just take the boat down to the launch and we'll launch the boat and we'll go across the inlet over to Fort Flagler on Nordland Island. It's about 4 miles across the inlet there." So we did. Two-thirds of the way over, the blue skies turned dark. The tide changed to going out, and I want to tell you, when the tide goes out of Puget Sound, it takes a big current with it. Because there's a lot of water, and it all goes clear out for over 100 miles past Forks out to the Pacific Ocean. And then the wind got a little bit stronger, and the chop turned to 5-foot waves. So we decided we were going to turn around and head back because the tide was dragging us out into Puget Sound and the wind was blowing us away from shore. And the 5-foot waves started breaking over the bow of that boat, dumping 10, 15, 20 gallons of water at a time. Larry said, "You better start bailing." There was a 1-gallon bucket. He was scared. I was scared. And I bailed for all I was worth, and then the motor began to cough. And quit. There was another can of gas, you know, those big things like that. So I had to switch the gas cans and take that little bulb and prime the gas up to the motor and sit there and pull and pull. This, no electric starter. It was like, you know, finally the motor caught, and it took us quite a while to get back home. I was way later. It took us longer to go two-thirds of the way there and make it back to shore than it was going to take us to make the entire trip and have our little excursion over at Fort Flagler. And I bailed. I think there was still about a foot and a half of water in the hull of that boat when we reached shore. Water was about this far from the gunwales. I was scared. I didn't know if we were going to make it or not. And you don't want to be in Puget Sound because the water's 52 degrees, and I don't care whether it's summer or winter, it's 52 degrees. You don't swim very long in that. There's a similar story. It was read for our scripture reading today. The story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, and they were in the storm. There are three instances of that story in the Bible. Mark wrote one of them, Luke wrote one, and Matthew wrote one. Now, Mark wasn't there, and neither was Luke. But we're going to turn to Mark's rendition of the story, because each one of them tells it just slightly differently. And I think Mark probably had something that Luke did not, because Mark got to travel during Paul's missionary journeys with Peter and Silas. And Peter was in the boat. So he had the story. Mark's story is secondhand. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid?" Jesus lived without fear. At first blush, we almost have to wonder if Jesus is serious. Why are you afraid? I was afraid when I was in a boat like that, I can tell you. But he's dead earnest. That storm had turned their Galilean dinner cruise into a white-knuckled plunge. Now, Matthew is the only one of the three Gospels who was in the boat. So his rendition of the story is firsthand, and he adds some things that Mark and Luke do not. It's Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. He remembered well that tempest and bouncing boat, and he was careful in his terminology. I like Matthew. Remember, he was a tax collector, so he knew about detail. He had to keep books. And he was really specific about the words he used to describe the storm. And so he pulls his Greek thesaurus off the shelf and he hunts for the description that exploded like waves across the bow of that boat. And he bypassed common terms that Luke used and Mark used because they weren't there. He bypassed squall and cloudburst and downpour. Those didn't capture what he felt and saw that night. A rumbling earth and a quivering shoreline. He recalled more than winds and white top waves. His finger went down the column of synonyms until he landed on a word that worked. There it is, he says. Seismos. Now, I think you know what that's all about. Seismographs, seismologists, has to do with earthquakes, doesn't it? Mark used that word two other times in his gospel, besides here. He used it when there was an earthquake and Christ died on the cross. And he used it that Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away. A seismos. That was some storm. They were scared. Scared to death. Sudden fear. This storm sprang up like a lion out of grass. One minute the disciples were talking among themselves about fishing prospects, and the next they were gulping Galilean sea spray. Peter and John tried to take down the sail. Matthew tried to keep down his dinner. The storm was not what the tax collector bargained for. A great storm arose on the lake. Matthew 28, verse 24. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. And the word he uses for the great storm is seismos. I'm sure that they thought they'd have a better journey than that. As Christ's followers, when we cruise with Christ, is it always a Caribbean vacation? Mm-mm. In fact, Jesus told us. Over in the Gospel of John, you don't need to turn to it, but if you want to write the text down, it's John 16, verse 33. In the world, you have tribulation. Doesn't say you might, or you may, or you could. He says you will. Christ followers have all kinds of bad things happen to us. We get sick. We bury children. We battle addictions. And as a result, we have fears. It's not the absence of storms that sets us apart. It's whom we discover in the storm, an unstirred Christ. Jesus was sleeping. Now there's a scene. Disciples were screaming and Jesus was dreaming. He doesn't doze, catnap, or rest. He slumbers. In fact, he planned on slumbering. It said he had a cushion. Now, they didn't bring a pillow from Peter's house. That cushion was already in the boat. They still use them in the Sea of Galilee and in the Mediterranean today on fishing boats. It's about a 100-pound leather sack full of ballast that they use to balance the boat when it's half full of fish. And the back part of the boat, there's a little stern deck, and they put their seine nets underneath that deck where there's an open space there. And that's where Jesus went to lay down, on top of the nets, with a leather ballast sack for a pillow, and he went to sleep. his snooze troubled his disciples. Matthew and Mark record their response as three staccato Greek commands and a question. The commands: Lord, save us, we're dying. And the question: do you not care that we're perishing? They don't ask about whether he's strong enough or whether he knows about storms. They question his character. Do you not care? Fear does that. They were scared. That's what happened. Fear does that when we get scared. It erodes our confidence in God's goodness. We begin to wonder if love lives in heaven. If God can sleep through my storms. If his eyes shut when my eyes grow wide with fear. If he permits storms after I get on his boat, does he really care? Yeah, he does. But fear unleashes a swarm of doubts. Anger-stirring doubts that turn us into control freaks. Do something about the storm, Lord. Fix it. Fix it or else. What do you and I fear today? Loss of a job, that last paycheck. The loss of our home in the unrelenting crush of a bad economy. For others, like the inhabitants of Sendai, Japan and Joplin, Missouri, we fear sudden disaster. Or do we fear being sued? Or finishing last? Or having our good name besmirched by gossip? Maybe we fear the spot on the x-ray that the doctor finds. Or do we fear the loss of a loved one? I have a little story to tell you about that, too. It was a few years after the Port Townsend incident. And we had moved from Port Townsend. I think we lived in Marysville at the time, but we were friends with another pastor and his wife, Gary Ellis. Gary is a little New Zealander. Loved he and Krista and their kids. And we got together one Sunday and went to this lake. Gary brought along a couple of kayaks. Now, they weren't the seagoing, ocean-going kayaks. These were just like open dugout canoes, pretty much. And the lake was calm. And I took my 5-year-old son, his name was David. We put a life jacket on him. There wasn't a life jacket for me, so I could swim a little bit, and we weren't going very far away. And we were probably out, maybe 100 feet from shore. I was paddling this kayak, and David was enjoying this, and there were other boats out on the lake, and then this skier and ski boat came by us a little too close, and the wake rocked the kayak, and we, both of us, went into the water. And I came up to the top, and David bobbed up to the top. And the first words out of his mouth were, "Daddy, I've lost my life jacket." I swam over to him about as fast as I could swim. I think I set a record, and I am not an Olympic swimmer by any chance. But I swam over to him. And he did have his life jacket on. It was just too large, and he couldn't feel it anymore. And so I grabbed hold of his life jacket and I rolled over onto my back and I did the backstroke until we made it to shore. but I was running out of wind and air and energy by the time, and we actually didn't even make it to shore. We ended up on top of the stump of a tree that was about, had to have been about 4 feet across. David's shaking his head, yes. It was big. I grabbed hold of that thing and pulled myself up on it and him too, and we finally survived, but yeah, sometimes we fear losing a loved one. And through it all, Jesus continually asks us, why are you afraid? Why should we be afraid? Our Lord's here. Not that we won't have problems. We will. He promised them. But that He's going to be with us through them. He made a promise over 3,000 years ago, through the psalmist. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. Let us pray. Dear Lord, You love us so much, and You are always there, and yet we still get afraid. We fear. Wrap us with Your love, because You are here with us to guide us through all our troubles and tribulations. Amen.